This one's similar, but not quite as involved because there's no floats on this one already. Okay.
Okay. Proceed. Take the brakes and knees.
All right, so this is an Oyster Grant application from Three Sheets Oyster Company. We received this application this year. The reason we surveyed this one a little out of order was because we were out there surveying the Virginia Water Holdings one, and I thought, why not go ahead and survey this one at the same time? We do try to do them in the order they received as much as we can, but I'm trying to get the backlog down. So we went in and surveyed this one at the same time we surveyed the previous case. Again, this request is for about 100 acres. The location you've seen is just to the north of the previous application in the Fleets Island area, offshore of Henry's Island community. It's in Lancaster County. Again, an aerial photo showing that this lease is generally offshore of Windfall Lane, which is north of the previous application. And this one is configured slightly different, and I'll explain why the applicant applied this way as I go through the evaluation. Again, we got this one in, we received this application in May of this year. It has been subjected to our normal public interest review. The applicant did fill out the use plan questionnaire in which he proposes to use on-bottom structures. Mr. Lang also indicated that some of the structures might exceed the regulatory approved height of 12 inches, and that he would, if he got the lease, he would then be seeking the general permit for to place cages that might be slightly greater than 12 inches above the substrate. Of course, we don't have any such request yet. It would be a little ahead of the gun to apply for the general permit for before you have the lease. Again, as I noted before, the use of cages and floats for shellfish propagation has increased the public's awareness of these and highlighted the necessity for a comprehensive review. Such requests in populated areas, which there is a subdivision inshore of this, raise issues regarding public trust, user conflicts, property values, aesthetics, navigation, impacts, and suitable bottom types. Stewardship of public trust lands, while weighing the public and private benefits versus detriments, requires a multifaceted review, and we do review each of these on a case-by-case basis based on comments received and the nature of the area being requested. Again, on this application, there is no submerged aquatic vegetation in the area, so that is not an issue. After we did survey this application, we began to receive objections from nearby property owners. We have five on record in opposition to this project. Again, in this particular application, the concerns were very similar to the previous one. They include noise, navigation impacts, endangering of birds and tiger beetles, litter, shore erosion, lost gear, and oysters washing ashore, along with the potential for infection from cuts from oysters or shell that may end up along the shoreline. During our correspondence with a number of the protestants, it was clarified that the issuance of this lease, if granted, would not grant any authority for floating aquaculture gear. That is a completely separate permit request and process, and the granting of a lease really has no direct impact on whether we would issue a permit for floating gear. We did subsequently contact Mr. Lang concerning these protests, and he indicated beyond the questionnaire that he'd initially filled out that he planned to use the area for on-bottom structures and would not be seeking to place any floating gear. So he confirmed that if he gets this lease, he really hasn't, at the moment, has no intention to seek any type of floating gear. That's not his business model that he's planning. And if he's here, I'll let him explain that to you. While we do acknowledge the concerns raised by the protestants, the use of bottom structures represent an efficient and manageable way to grow shellfish in an ever-increasing market. Based on the survey, configuration. So Mr. Lang, when he applied, and I've talked to him a couple times, he purposely put this sort of L shape you see here to stay further offshore of where there's actual residents. Mr. Lang actually owns the property where he comes back into shore here. My understanding, he owns some of the land right at this location. So he is a property owner here along with these other residents. So he asked to configure this in this manner He's obviously trying to capture, I believe, the shallow water habitat. So he applied out to the end of the bar here, and it does drop off considerably after that. So this was his, I think, attempt to address some of the neighbors' concerns in advance by staying a considerable distance offshore. As I noted, the previous application was 150 to 300 feet offshore. Except for the area here near Mr. Lang's property, he is considerably further offshore than that. So we believe the navigation issue is pretty well negated related to any of these properties. And there's hardly any pier structures here. There are breakwaters, and they've been properly permitted along this shoreline to help protect the shoreline. So this shoreline is a little better protected than the one to the south, which does not have any shoreline erosion control structures out in the bay. The lease boundary is over 800 feet offshore of the nearby properties. And so, therefore, additionally, it does not appear noise would be an issue as any activity would be further offshore. Again, everything would be subaqueous here. We don't believe there'd be impact to tiger beetles or any of that type of activity. These would not be floats, but there would be no bird activity. The structures would be underwater at all times. To address where the gear is displaced, the applicant does have responsibility under our current regulations, if this lease is granted, to secure such gear and retrieve any gear if it becomes dislodged. That's in the regulation. While, again, as noted previously, while there is a danger of infection from Vibrio-type bacteria, that occurs naturally in Virginia waters, and the potential for an infection is always present from any wound interaction with just the water column itself. So based on that information, staff understands that the use of on-bottom structures does often raise concerns for nearby property owners, and the location and configuration of this request, we believe, helps to address some of those issues. Therefore, after reviewing the protests and objections and considering all the factors of the Code of Virginia 28.2607 and 28.2125, subsection A, staff recommends approval of 99.97 acres lease. This is the surveyed area. These are the five protestants. They are in your packet. I think there was an additional one I got after I printed that. This is the actual surveyed plat. We do recommend approval of this. 99.97 acres to Three Sheets Oyster Company, as shown on the plat dated September 26th. I'd be happy to answer any questions. So this is similar to in location and requested use, but we don't have the float issue here because this is a brand new lease. This is a relatively new company, and hopefully the applicant can address his business plan if you have questions.
Good deal. Thank you, Ben. Any questions, Mr. Stagg? Pretty straightforward. Thank you. Is the applicant present or represented? You come forward, please, sir. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. I think I sat too long.
Okay. Hopefully, we won't keep you standing too long. Raise your right hand. Solemnly swear a testimony to give me the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
You state your name for the record, please.
Frederick Daniel Lang.
Sir, can you tell us why you want this or anything you want to tell us?
Well, I'll try to be concise about my interests and our objectives. To say that we have purchased approximately 12 acres, part of which is Henry's Island, two lots together with another parcel. That amounts to about 800 feet of shoreline. Mm-hmm. And as was mentioned by Mr. Staggs, it was our intention to try to alleviate any concerns of the proximity as it related directly to the property we owned across that 800 feet. Beyond that point, we expected that there might be some concerns with regard to navigation or issues. And the navigation, I just say, because we've been there now for 2 years living down here. We moved down from Pennsylvania, my wife and I, and we have a number of friends in the area who kayak and canoe, but those waters generally are very shallow, low tide. We literally can walk out to the breakers which are about 100 or so feet off from the shore. The interest, which I think is most important to the commission from what I've heard, and I'll try not to mix messages, but it was always somewhat obvious to myself that we would be fought with winds and turbulence and the nature of what goes on in the bay. That's a given, and I don't think anybody can argue that point. But perhaps unlike what I think I heard, where floats are perhaps the better remedy to cages on the bottom, my belief is, and people that I've spoken to who include for purposes of background, call them watermen who've been here for generations after generations, and several of whom are friends and who have oyster beds immediately in the same area and Little Bay and so forth, any poison. They believe this is probably one of the most nutrient-rich areas of oyster culture in and around the Rappahannock and the bay. We're blessed with a lot of nutrients that come out of the estuaries. We're blessed with the shallow waters, the salt that is not obviously, most people would agree, is very important and necessary to oysters and how you know the taste. And also the fact that the turbulences that occur both coming down from the Rappahannock and coming in from the bay, and that they add even more to that nutrient effect. You're getting movement. The oysters hopefully will grow better because of those influences. As has been stated, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm not an oysterman. I did grow up on the farm, a couple of hundred acres in my time. So my understanding is that we've got very hard bottoms. I went out on the survey with the gentleman, with Chris, for this survey, and I was amazed that after going in just about a foot into sand, we hit what we thought was just rock, that blue marl clay. I think that's the correct term. Pervasive all through that area. And it led me to believe that we were right in what we were hoping to achieve or are hoping to achieve. If you see the aerial photographs of that bay area, you'll note that there are obviously a lot of shelves. There are ridges, and those ridges predominantly run a northeast direction. And it is our hope that we will be able to, with the approval of this, go in there and identify the troughs in those ridges, and that we'll be able to tie down or anchor the baskets or the cages, if you will, to meet that 1 foot requirement. At the same time, on long line, probably at this point we're researching, it looks like between 250 and 500 feet apart from those anchor points, keep those cages near the bottom, but not on the ground per se. In other words, they're 12 inches, or in some cases they're 8-inch baskets, which would meet the requirement. But they're just, I would say they're almost suspended at the bottom, which means they're not going to get covered over by the sand. And that's critical. The neighbors, the people who have beds out here have explained to me fairly recently their experiences of putting oysters on, I guess you term it, the rocks, which is basically you put them on the sand and then they harvest and then they put the shells back on, and over time you've got your oyster bed without cages. The problem in these areas is that while they've had some success in early years, depending on the storm and the flow, the sand will come in and they'll lose some of that. That won't be the issue with the cages, we believe. We will be able to negate that problem, and obviously we think we'll be successful. I think what's also important, as I've expressed, I'm not an oysterman, I'm not a waterman, but I'm practical in having been involved in growing tobacco, growing corn, growing potatoes, a lot of agriculture, and this aquaculture is very intriguing to me for two reasons. One, we live there, we've got a major investment in our real estate that we're building on. This is our home, and we think it's a wonderful thing to be able to clean the waters of the Chesapeake Bay, and oysters are probably the one thing that can do that better than almost anything else out there. We don't believe that the baskets or the floats, whatever the terminology is the right way to do it, because we think that it is more prone to damage. We think it's more likely that those things will come unsecured and they will be problematic. To the benefit of the previous applicant, I can say that we are supportive of what they're trying to do, or what Tom's trying to do. I've regularly gone over to his oyster company, picked up baskets along our beach wherever possible. The folks taking them back there for him. It's a tough life. We understand that. And where we've been able to help, we've tried to do that. But by the same token, it's not something that we think would work in our business model. So the end game for us, as I've said, beyond getting these areas identified, these troughs, if you will, which are, I'm being told, tend to stay there naturally, would give us the opportunity not to have that siltation occur. It also creates a situation where we won't have, quote, 100 acres of solid cages or 100 acres of baskets. It's going to have to be broken up into smaller areas, maybe 5 to 10 acre areas, where we would try to see which area is least prone to the problems of turbulence and sand. And then I think what's important to know is, lastly, we have our company and my presence here in the last 3 years in Whitestone, living in Whitestone, on Windmill Point Road, is we have a number of people who also are in the shellfish business. Those are people who are both the people harvesting, the watermen, and the end users, the larger processors in the area, who have expressed an interest to work with us. And we know that this will take some capitalization on our part to achieve this goal. We're prepared to do that because we think long-term this is a great thing to do.
Right, thank you, sir. Any questions of the gentleman? Mr. Tankard.
So I'm straight. This is your first foray into the aquaculture of the oyster business, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Further questions? Thank you, sir. Anyone else in support of this project? Anyone in opposition to this project? Did I see that? Yes, ma'am. You've been previously sworn. For the record, please state your name again, please.
Karen Loper.
Yes, ma'am.
The only reason I'm here is that Mr. Stagg had provided me with the names of some people that had supported our protest in the prior here lease. So a couple homeowners just got in touch with me and said, are you going to the hearing? And I just said I would come here and support them on this. And I think you've got a letter from Mr. Matthew Buchima that gave me that letter. But I think their concerns are, again, the shallowness of, even though he's come off the, in that red picture there, the shallowness there in front of their houses where they kayak and boat and everything. And he is asking for cages that are slightly over 12 inches. So there is, there is a more of a problem of people kayaking, waterboarding, paddleboarding, that if people are falling off, using that as a recreation area right in front of their houses in the shallow waters, there could be, you know, it could be a hazard, but, you know, to people. And their other concern was, they were concerned again, I think the same concern we had, and that was about subletting the lease. You got a 100-acre lease. And could you sublet it, maybe not to nefarious characters or businesses, but people who may not be good stewards? That's all I have to say.
Thank you, ma'am. Matters before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Minor.
I move that we approve staff recommendations.
Motion made by Mr. Minor to approve staff recommendations. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Ballard. Further discussion? All in favor? Mr. Tiger, I'm sorry.
I just have, you know, my only question, 100 acres of cages, I know that's not going to be 100 total, but again, this is a high energy spot. And a person who's never done this before, seems like we're leaving the public to the vagaries of an uncertain future. I'm having a hard time supporting.
Further comments? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
No.
Two noes. Three noes. Did you get those?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We will be in recess. It's 25 after 12 now. We will reconvene at 1 o'clock for public comments, followed by fisheries.